Okay. Well, tonight I'm going to look at a verse from Genesis 1. In our evening services, we have been looking at the book of Genesis, and I want to look at just one verse from this week's coming passage. Genesis 1, verse 28. And it says, "Then God blessed them." And this is speaking about the first man and the first woman, Adam and Eve. "Then God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" Now, it's true that at the very beginning, there was only one commandment that God gave to Adam and Eve, the first people. And that first commandment, when it's given, it says he commanded them, saying, it was the prohibition about eating the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But strictly speaking, this verse that we've read tonight, verse 28, strictly speaking, this verse contains God's first imperative to human beings. It's the first thing that he tells them to do. Now, God gives three imperatives there, if you looked at that verse, and you could maybe call them, if we're not going to call it a command, you could actually say maybe they're the first three instructions, the first three directives that God gave to the first man and the first woman and to all mankind, all humanity. You could sum it up this way. First of all, it's a directive about procreation. Then secondly, a directive about population. And then thirdly, a directive about dominion. So procreation, God blesses them, it says there. And then he charges them to be fruitful and to multiply. God creates man and woman. He puts them together. He instructs them. Basically, he's instructing them to be a family, father and mother, and children. And it's a good thing that those directives, it's preceded by God, it says, blessing them. It says, "God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful, man and woman, and multiply.'" So procreation, it's not a penalty. Procreation is also not a hobby. Procreation in this foundational sense, in a real sense, it's primary. So there's procreation. Second imperative that God gives them, it's one of population. Population. God directs them to fill the earth, with people. It's the same instruction that God gave earlier, that he gave to swarms of flying creatures and to swimming creatures. And if you were with us two Sunday evenings ago, you saw that God addressed all of this primordial chaos and emptiness. It was all unformed, formless, and it was also empty. It was desolate. And God addressed that by bringing structure, order, almost like putting up walls for a house, or a fence and landscaping. So he brought structure to chaos, and then the emptiness. He brought life. He brought community and filled this habitable structure of the earth. He brought life and community into the emptiness. And so here, this directive, these three directives that he gives to the first man and the first woman, it's God's way of doing that, filling emptiness with life. He's spreading life all across the entire earth that he made, the home that he built. And so this is just a continued outworking from the beginning of the chapter of God's desire to fill the earth with creatures. In other words, he intended for his creatures not to be alone. He intended for us to have company, not isolation. He intended for us to have community, to be in communities, not to be scattered, not to be alone. So there's the imperative for procreation, the imperative for population across the whole earth, and then thirdly, the imperative for, you could call it dominion, that has some, that can have some off associations. Maybe you could say rule. The imperative is for rule. God says, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion, he says to them, over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living creature that moves on the earth. So God directs man and woman to be over the animals. We're not another species of animals. We're distinct from them, and we're over them. And that was before there was any sin. That was when nothing was wrong. That's how God set it up. And so one thing from this means that in some core way, you connect to your human purpose when you deal with other living creatures, especially animals. I'm not saying that everyone here needs to get a fish or a bird or a cat or a horse. I'm just pointing out that in the beginning, God created us to interact with his world of animals, to be over them in the same way that he was over them. These things that he made, he called them good. These are his good animals. And he made them good, and he cared for them. He supplied them with food. So we're to rule over them, to do them good, to do good to the good creatures that God made. That's how God set it up. Now, something has changed. It's not the way it was when he spoke those words. Something's changed. For one thing, sin entered. And so the creation now is living under the curse. And that really changes what's possible now. What's possible for us? What's possible for us with the living creatures? And for instance, when you come to Genesis 9, after the flood, after God has cleansed the earth, the earth had gotten so full of sin and with violence, God said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to purge the earth, wash it clean, and we're going to start again. He purged the world. He established the created order. Then Genesis 9, verses 1 and 2, very familiar instructions that he gives again to the first family, Noah's family. He says to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. But then there's a little bit of a change. He says, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast of the earth, on every bird of the air, on all that move on the earth, and on all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hand. And as for you, speaking back to human beings, be fruitful and multiply. Bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply in it. So here again with Noah and his family, his small family, even after the fall into sin, this much remains about God's commandment, his charge to humanity. He says, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. But something's missing now, right? Something's not there that was there with Adam. The commandment to subdue, the commandment to rule. God reiterates to the only humans who are alive in the days of Noah, the only humans who are left, Noah and his little family, the direction for procreation, the direction for population, but he does not repeat the direction for dominion over the creatures. Now, in fact, what we see here is something changes. Something changes between humanity and animal kind. The animals are now afraid of people. It says, the fear of you, humans, and the dread of you, humans, shall be on every beast of the earth. And that's why deer avoid you. That's why birds fly away when you try to go towards them. We're just one more step removed from our original human connection to creation. Now, we've looked at these two broad directions, these two directions from God for all people. To the first two humans, God instructed them to procreate, to populate, to subdue. And then he starts over again. And to this first set of humans, Noah's family, God instructs them, procreate, populate. Now, this sort of pattern that you see, when God starts a new creation, there's one more time that it happens. There's one more time that God gave this broad dictate to a first family. Do you know where I'm going with this? When Jesus came, he inaugurated a new family and a new kingdom. And speaking to the new first people of that family, the 12, his disciples, Jesus issued very similar instructions about the nature of what their new humanity, this new kingdom, was going to be like. Matthew 28, Jesus directed them to multiply across the earth. Matthew 28:18. Jesus came and spoke to them, the 12, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." And here's his imperative. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." In the gospel, Jesus is the first son who, by his birth, his death, and his resurrection, he began the restoration of humanity. He began restoring everything that was lost by the sin and by the curse that we brought. And if you have entered this new family, if you have repented from sin, and if you have believed on Christ, you're part of this new creation, this new world renewal, this new reset. This is also your path back to real humanity, back to the beginning. What were his instructions to us? It follows that same pattern that he gave Adam, that he gave Noah. What were Jesus' instructions to us as the 12, the foundation? Well, it was reproduction and population of the earth. He said, "Go, make disciples of all nations." You do that by moving outside of whatever your circles are, whether you grew up here or there, whether you're of this family or that family. You do that by moving outside of that and by living for Jesus, for speaking about Jesus, for spreading the message of Jesus. That can be done in the work of foreign missions. That can be done in the work of evangelism here, where you live, where you work, in your city, in your own family. He also directs us to, it's kind of like the dominion that he gave to Adam. He directs us to subdue and to have dominion, but not under us. Not that we're the ones that are having rule over others, but under Christ, the King. What did he say in his inaugural language? He said, "Baptize them into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." That means put my name on them so that they are now under my kingship, under the kingship of the Trinitarian God. And he tells them, here's another imperative for subduing the world. He says, "Teach them to observe all that Jesus has commanded." And so now it's the third time that God has reset and is restoring all of his good creation. Why are we here? Why are we here, believers? Why are you here, you disciples of Jesus? Well, after Adam, everyone lost their way. After Noah, we lost our way again. But in Jesus Christ, we're on our way home. And so, go.